This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart for Brent and Dave. Thanks for joining us today, where you can get local news talk, the only place where you can get local news talk in the Willamette Valley. Listen about ideas and institutions and individuals and initiatives. And we've got an individual here to talk about an institution that has an initiative. So great stuff. We teased about this yesterday. It's just kind of a coincidence. We have two nonprofits. Two organizations with long standing in the community who are going to do great things in the community. And so I want to welcome to the studio to represent Rotary, Downtown Rotary, Barry Nelson. Well, welcome, Barry.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Little background. So Barry works with Downtown Rotary, and they're going to put a new amphitheater downtown. Just before we came on the air, Barry and I were talking about all of the projects happening downtown. How old are the projects happening in Salem? And if they all came to pass, we're looking at something incredible, a phenomenal change in our core of our city and the soul of our city in the next few years. If we rebuild the whole half block with the YMCA, well, not if, when they do, as we heard from Laura Moret yesterday, and the United Gospel Mission moves out of the downtown core, and that half block gets redeveloped, and an extended stay hotel goes in where the dilapidated parking garage is, and then that'll get redeveloped, and some micro units, what do they call it? Small housing opportunities on the old McMahon site downtown as well. More people living downtown, and of course, a brand new incredible asset downtown in a new amphitheater, courtesy of Rotary and everyone who's supporting the project. So let's, first of all, Barry, thanks for being here.
You bet.
So let's get everybody know who you are. You work for Capital Financial Planners.
Yes, I'm managing partner at the firm.
So you manage people's money, right?
Yes, we're a wealth management firm. I'm a certified financial planner. My partner, Chad Campbell, and I have been around for a long time, both Salem natives, and it's really a pleasure doing what we do and being entrusted in that position.
I do like your history going back into Salem, because you were born here, right?
I like to say that I'm Salem native. I was actually born in Portland, moved at the tender age of one to Salem, and have been here ever since.
All right, so we'll call you native Oregonian.
There we go.
Nearly lifelong, you know, Salemite. So I know you went to South Salem High School. You went to school at Willamette. So you've got some roots.
I do, and actually I'm third generation Willamette University, so family goes back in Salem a long time.
So they didn't have to bribe to get you in with a fake sports, you know, scholarship or anything like that we're hearing in the news?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that's been published yet, anyway.
That's just a joke, and what's in the news today, in case you missed it, today and yesterday, it's everywhere. But at any rate, well, great. So what's your role with Rotary? You've been a Rotarian, of course, and you've been on the board, and I think you're still like embroiled in this leadership thing.
Yeah, so I joined Rotary back in 2009 as a way to give back to the community, and worked my way onto the board and served as president of the Downtown Rotary Club in 2014-15. It was 2015 that I suggested, being both a planner by nature and profession, that we be looking toward 2020, our centennial year, to potentially do something bigger than usual.
So we're kind of coming up on the cusp of the centennial year for Rotary being in Salem. Is that just the downtown club or the first club in Salem?
It was the first club in the Willamette Valley, correct.
Oh,
so
wow.
1920, Rotary came to the Valley in the form of the Rotary Club of Salem.
All right. You meet somebody in the streets, never heard of Rotary. How do you explain what it is?
Rotary is a group of individuals who have come together to give back to their community. Technically, it's a service club, but it's a club that was founded in Chicago in 1905 based on vocational service and ethics in business. And that spread throughout not just the nation but the world as a service organization giving back via professions, but has migrated into also giving back in the form of contributing to our communities in various nonprofit means and such.
All right, so we're going to get to during this hour, we're going to get to this amphitheater and what it's going to look like. I wish I could show you all a picture. I got to show Dave the picture so that he can get excited.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
It's nice.
Downtown. I mean, we already have this incredible asset at the park, right? We've got the carousel and the shop. We've got, what do you call it? The kiosk thing that you guys built.
The Rotary Pavilion.
The Rotary Pavilion, thank you, that you guys put in a while back, and the pavement, and the bridge.
This is one of those things, Brent, that visitors will start recognizing from around the world. You know, like the Australian thing that they have? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much all they have. That's what they show. Every time you see it, you know it's Australia. You see this, you'll know it's Salem, Oregon.
That's right. It's and Barry, I'm stealing his words here.
Yeah. Steal.
He said it's going to be an iconic cultural asset.
See?
Right.
I told you.
It will be a landmark for our community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to get to that. Let's finish talking about what Rotary is doing in Salem. Actually, it's founded in 1905, Rotary, and 15 years later, we have a chapter in the Willamette Valley. So that's how long you guys have been here.
That's impressive.
So long history. This obviously a number of clubs in town by now.
Yeah, there are 8 clubs in the area and various sizes to suit the needs and cultures of those who want to participate and meeting at all kinds of different times, but all doing great work in the community.
And obviously they have the pavilion as an example of one of the give back projects. Are there others that you've been involved with or you want to point out? Wouldn't be there without Rotarians?
Yeah, a lot of the work that Rotary does takes place behind the scenes. They we're fans of the underdog. We like to support youth in the community, particularly disadvantaged youth. And annually, projects might be somewhere in the form of remodeling the Home Youth and Resource Center, to providing a technology lab at Willamette Academy, to providing the volunteer center at the Center for Hope and Safety is the Rotary Volunteer Center. So Rotary gives back in a lot of ways that I think largely go under the radar and behind the scenes. As far as serving youth, also providing youth exchange opportunities for high school youth, as well as promoting literacy among younger children and providing books to homeless shelters and things of that nature.
Yeah, we could probably talk the whole hour on what Rotary is and what it is internationally and all the work that it's done in Salem. I mean, you can't go to a Rotary meeting without, you know, people. I visited them. I'm not a Rotarian, but I visit them. There's always somebody standing up and saying, well, we're doing this and we're involved in this and this is coming up and we're raising money for this. And they're not even necessarily, they're not stamping their name on it. They're just doing the work.
Right.
And they're raising the money inside the club to help something come to fruition in good works in the community.
Unsung heroes.
Right. So Barry's thinking big because he's the president. He's like,
sure.
He's a planner for a living. We have that in common. I'm a long-term thinker and always have been. It's like, well, our centennial is 5 years away. We better plan something big. And so, boom, an idea to improve Riverfront Park with a new amphitheater, right?
Yeah, it didn't start that way, but a group of Rotarian leaders got together and started brainstorming came up with a variety of ideas. But it was actually a conversation with then Salem Mayor Anna Peterson, who toward the end of our conversation mentioned, gosh, you know, the amphitheater in Riverfront Park is kind of an afterthought. It's just a paver patio out there, and that could really use some attention. So put that into your thinking cap and see what you can come up with. There's a story behind how we came to land on that amphitheater, but I'll spare you the story for now.
I don't know. We may get to it, but it went from, hey, throwing the idea in your head to the Jerry Frank amphitheater, right? And where we are today. And we're going to get to that right after this break. We're talking to Barry Nelson of Capital Financial Planners in downtown Rotary about the new amphitheater. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly sponsored by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we have Barry Nelson in the studio with us. And if you're not driving right now, whip out your phone. If you're at your computer, and search for RotaryAmphitheater.com or Facebook page for the Amphitheater Rotary Salem, you're going to find it. And take a look at the picture of this thing.
Yeah, right? This is awesome.
This we're talking about, if you've been to downtown Riverfront Park, you know, there's a stepped amphitheater of sorts. No real structure, no real sound containment, no visual appealing, not very good infrastructure as far as electrical for sound and things like that. So take a look at this thing, because it's going to be amazing. The Rotary Amphitheater, Salem. I think you're going to find it on the web. You're going to find it on Facebook. So just before the break, we were talking to Barry Nelson about how Anna Peterson said, why don't you think about the amphitheater? And then the Lord worked in mysterious ways. So share with the listener what you were telling us, what happened next.
Sure. Well, I told you I'd spare you the story. I'll give you the brief version. The day after my meeting with Mayor Anna Peterson, I got on a flight to Little Rock, Arkansas for an event that my oldest child had there. And Little Rock is a city not too much bigger than Salem. It has a river running through the middle of it, similar to Salem. And adjacent to downtown is a riverfront park. And at one end of their riverfront park is a train bridge that has been converted to a pedestrian bridge.
That's wild.
And when I was there at the other end, they were in the process of constructing another pedestrian bridge. So it was Salem, but hot, humid, and with bigger bugs. We had an event that evening at their riverfront park amphitheater, and it was really quite stunning. The cover that they had provided for their amphitheater stage and the infrastructure for community events, whether it be concerts. In our case, it was simply a community gathering at the amphitheater. And so I took some pictures, brought that back to the group that was brainstorming the Centennial Project ideas for Rotary. And we really loved the idea of creating a better gathering place for our community that didn't have any locked doors, that was open to everyone, that everyone in our community can experience.
So what do you anticipate will happen at the amphitheater? What kind of events do you think that it's going to host?
Well, certainly currently we have the events such as River Rock. We have Movies in the Park, which draw thousands of visitors to watch those movies in a wonderful setting. And other concerts and such. But I've also been talking with our phenomenal Salem Kaiser music programs about potentially hosting our students at this venue for large events, Blues on the Water, big band, things of that nature, children's educational theater. There are all kinds of opportunities for our community, in addition to, of course, bigger, better professional acts coming to the region.
Yeah, we could do a huge religious revival as well.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
With choirs and preaching and altar calls and all sorts of things. So you got community groups will be able, obviously, to rent it or reserve it and use it for some things. And then there'll be some city-sponsored activities.
That's certainly the vision, yes.
It's amazing. I know out in there's a little amphitheater in Independence just across the river. And they have live music every Friday that's free.
Yeah.
And a live band. And usually they're cover bands or they're tribute bands. But
it's still live music.
Man, we could have that Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, all the time. Not on top of all the events that are already happening at Riverview Park, Riverfront Park.
And worth mentioning the Kaiser Rotary Amphitheater, which hosts wonderful events in Kaiser as well.
Oh, that's so exciting. All right. So you saw the vision, you brought it back, they narrowed the options of what Rotary was going to do for the centennial, and then you have to have a design, and you have to have a fundraiser. And so how big a project is this?
Well, it's a very major project, and it's not one that is just a design or just construction or just fundraising, but it's many different projects wrapped into one. And as far as the design selection process, we went through we asked for three Rotarian architects to come up with concept designs, presented those to the public over the course of 2017 during much of the summer at events in the park, visited every neighborhood association, and asked for community input, because we don't necessarily want to impose an amphitheater on our community, but we want our community to have an amphitheater that they want mm-hmm. and that is exciting for them. And so through that process, we landed on the design that we have today.
Well, you better be careful, because 75% of Salem might want this amphitheater and five councilors vote against it.
Right.
Okay, totally different subject.
I was telling him about the bridge deal.
Yeah,
he knows all about that too.
Barry didn't want anyone to know that. He did laugh at my joke. So,
he did, yeah. Smirk.
What's it been like working with the city? Because obviously it's a city asset, but it is a gift from Rotary that Rotary, like you said, is going to bring in the whole community in terms of what they want. But Rotary's bringing it to the fore. It's going to bring it to the plate. How's the relationship with the city staff, the city manager, the city council?
Yeah, the so far it's been great to work with the city. We first sat down in November of 2016 with incoming Mayor Chuck Bennett and City Manager Steve Powers and others to talk about the concept, and they loved the concept. They said this type of thing has been on their wish list, and that they would be a willing partner in this collaborative effort to bring this in. We experienced a challenge together in that the current the location of the current amphitheater in Riverfront Park actually has some land use restrictions that won't allow for a cover to be placed on the stage where it exists currently. The Willamette Greenway, a state use land use law, has setback requirements from the water that caused a shift in thinking as far as where this would be placed. However, that was a blessing in disguise, and through a very collaborative effort with the city, went through a relocation of the amphitheater to the yet-to-be-developed land at the south end of Riverfront Park that places the cover on axis with the Peter Courtney Minto Island Bridge mm-hmm. at the south end there.
And next to Eco Earth, if you haven't walked around Eco Earth for a while. So that's on the riverside of the railroad tracks and kind of adjacent and near the new bridge, right?
Yes, you'll see the new bridge through the amphitheater cover if you're looking straight on.
Wow. We're talking to Barry Nelson. He's with Capital Financial Planners. He's a financial planner, money manager,
That's
CFP,
fair.
Certified financial planner, along with his partner, and lifetime Salemite, really.
Right.
We're going to give you that. Went to South Salem High School, went to Willamette, and he's a Little League umpire.
What?
He's a Little League. You got that. You can hear that in his voice. He can stay a little calm under pressure when people are calling him names and telling him his strike zone stinks. And I'm sure he's heard it all, because Little League parents can get a little
excitable. Open your eyes.
But I love it, and I want people to know that here's a guy who's got a downtown office, right? And he's raising his family here, and he was raised here, and he's not at. He sings locally. He's involved in a church. I mean, there's a man, the roots in the community. He's not doing this because it's great for business. He's not doing this out of an obligation. He wants to serve the community, and so do his fellow Rotarians. So amazing. And I'm always going to beat the drum of these great things that are happening in Salem. They're getting funded by Salem's business community.
Right.
Along with other benefactors and other, I'm not saying business owners are the only ones, but a lot of these big ticket items are getting funded by contributions from the business community.
Did you get all the funding you needed?
So $4.1 million, right? $4 million?
$4 million campaign. We've raised $1.1 million. So we still have a ways to go, but we are confident that we're going to get there. And of the 1.1, that's really largely from Rotarians and from within the club. And so we wanted to start there, demonstrate our commitment to getting this done. And we're have developed strategy and are now approaching other potential donors within the community and welcome community donations at this point.
When you say club, do you mean the area clubs or the downtown club?
I mean the downtown club. So
holy cannoli.
It is the downtown club of 180 Rotarians who have committed about $700,000 of the 1.1 to this project, and we're now opening that up for others to come alongside and help us get this done.
So there's a lot of asks in the community, folks, and there's a lot of asks of your money, and there's a lot of needs in town. But Rotary has raised 25% of the cost of this before they're going out in the community and asking.
That's pretty amazing.
We're in. They're in.
Right.
All right. So there'll be events, obviously, and opportunities to gift. Are you going after foundation grants and things like that?
Yes. So it'll be second half of this year that the foundations and grants will really pick up. At this time, the major effort is in talking with prospective leadership donors and developing relationships, really.
So you announced that you do have a contractor. I heard that on the news with Dave Bourne, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
This week.
I told you. I did a story on that.
So local contractor, Dahlke Construction, right?
Dahlke Construction, and very exciting for me. I grew up with the Dahlke family in West Salem, and so exciting that they are celebrating 100 years in business this year.
Wow.
And for two organizations celebrating centennials to come together and make a difference in the community that has provided for them for so long is an exciting partnership.
All right, Dahlkes. When that sign goes up there, under construction, a Dahlke project, I want to see the 100.
Yeah, right?
On the new logo, the Dahlke Construction, 100-year project. Right?
Wow.
That's incredible.
Written in the stars.
Good people over there. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the design and how the design is significant and why it's called the Jerry Frank Amphitheater. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Well, for sponsoring the segment here on Newsmakers, this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne and our guest in the studio today from Downtown Rotary, Barry Nelson. His day job is with Capital Financial Planners, planning. I never talk about my day job. I do have a day job, actually.
You do talk about it occasionally.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll touch on that at some point.
Sometimes I wonder if you actually work, but that's okay.
I do. I always work on behalf of people who need me. All right. So the Downtown Rotary Amphitheater Project. Look it up if you are not driving and look at the vision. And so there's no naming rights. There's already a title. There's to this amphitheater. It's named after Jerry Frank. Right?
At
what point in the process did that happen? And I'm assuming, actually I know, it wasn't because Jerry wrote a check on the thing.
That's correct.
Because you're trying to honor him.
That's correct. Absolutely. And Jerry being such an incredible member of our community for so long and having been involved in so many capital campaigns, before this campaign got started, as part of our due diligence process and feasibility, we talked with a number of leaders in the community about the project, and he was one of those from whom we sought counsel. And he's been a member of the Downtown Rotary Club for over 60 years.
Wow.
So when he came to Salem with Meyer and Frank, was a Rotarian. And as part of that process, in considering selling the naming rights or having some sort of corporate sponsor for this, we got to thinking about it and talking about it and spoke with a number of leaders within Rotary, leaders in the community, and landed on naming this in honor of Jerry for his 60 years of Rotary service. And by golly, whether they know it or not, I bet there's not a single person in the state of Oregon who has not been touched in some way by Jerry's generosity and his gracious service to Oregonians.
Yes, incredible. Incredible history and legacy. So great for you. Let's go back to the design here. So you had to find a location for it. You moved it over by the railroad tracks and over by Eco Earth and the new pedestrian bridge to Minto Brown. Tell me a little bit about the process of widening it from a rotary kind of subcommittee of leadership to, hey, we're going to widen. You said you went to neighborhood associations and you went to the city, and you're broadening out the conversation to get a good grasp of who wants what vision. How was that? And did you come across any naysayers? Did you come across any animosity? Or was there a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of agreement?
Yeah, so we presented from, again, three different architects, five different concept designs to the community, really seeking input not just on the idea but also on the design. And almost universally, people loved the idea of a new amphitheater, a covered stage, one that could be used much more than the current. We did encounter, I think I can count on two fingers, the number of people who were against such an idea, but
other than that, were either of them elected?
None were elected officials,
okay,
no. And in presenting the concept ideas to the community, the one selected resonated with people because of the story behind it, and that story is that CB2, the architect in this case, took a look at the cultural history, not just the industrial history, but the cultural history of Riverfront Park in Salem. And the Native American Kalapuya used to live in this area, mm-hmm. and in the area of Riverfront Park, and it was the open weave baskets of the Native American Kalapuya that inspired the design that we have today.
Mm. I wish we were television, we could be showing this. But all right, so it's meant to harken back to the days even before, as the settlers were getting here and the people who are already here.
Absolutely, and we had the honor of visiting tribal council at the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, of which the Kalapuya is a part, to present to them this idea and this design, to make sure that we are indeed honoring them, as we certainly don't wish to offend in any way, and we don't know what we don't know, and that was very positive conversation, very supportive of the design and appreciative of that cultural nod to history here.
It is going to be striking. So you have the weaved look, and that will always be open or will ever be shaded for weather or for effects?
Yeah, so if folks look at the renderings at rotaryamphitheater.com, they'll see this weaved design. And what's not necessarily clear on that rendering is that wooden structure, the grid shell, as we call it, is covered by a tensile fabric. So it's perhaps similar to a shade sail that you would see at poolside or something of that nature. But this tensile fabric will be waterproof and cover the structure so that it is sheltered from the elements, provides shade for those performing and those on the stage.
Yeah, because you know, hang lights, you don't want performers to get electrocuted by their own equipment, right?
Yeah,
sound
right.
Equipment and what have you.
A little painful.
So that is great. Iconic, cultural, and historical landmark. Very cool. All right. Excuse me. Let's go back to the $4 million project, and when are we going to get this done?
Yeah.
You're going to go out, and there's going to be fundraisers, obviously. You're going to have fundraiser plannings and events, looking for in-kind contributions, both from CB2, we know, has already contributed in-kind, right?
Yes, absolutely, in a big way.
Maybe Dalkey would help with their contractors and subcontractors to get in-kind, to try to get to that $4 million value. City's going to put in the infrastructure for the utilities, right, for their own park, which would be the least they could do, right?
Right. And so Rotary's project is really just the stage and the cover, and that's the $4 million project of the Rotary portion of this. It's actually a bigger project. It's a $6.5 million project if we include the surrounding area and the development of the parcel. And the city, this is an estimated value on it, but as far as extending the parking lot, providing an entry plaza, restrooms, and developing the audience area and pathway lighting and utilities and so on and so forth, that $2.5 million takes it to that $6.5 million total. And I think it perhaps important to note that that $2.5 million development for the rest of the site is not any more than the city would need to spend to develop this area as general park usage if the amphitheater were not going in. So we're not implementing a cost to the city by making the gift of this amphitheater to the community.
All right, Barry Nelson, I do have to ask this question because it's a history at Riverfront Park. Is the work being done going to have to fall under prevailing wage rules when it's constructed?
To be determined. We're operating under the assumption that it will need to fall under prevailing wage. But the attorneys are having that conversation and trying to figure out whether that is indeed the case.
So the history down there for the listener, the carousel went in and a lot of volunteers, volunteers carved those wooden horses, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of volunteers went in and putting the carousel building in. And then after it was completed and gifted to the city, there was a lawsuit by some union members saying, hey, the people that worked on this should have been paid a union wage, should have been paid a prevailing wage, which is very
but
similar.
But they volunteered.
Yeah. And they lost. The city had to come up with a whole bunch of money and pay people who didn't want to be paid, or if they were paid whatever wage they bid at, they had to be paid more because somebody else sued on their behalf. And that's how crazy it is with public contracting. They said, well, you know, this is now a public building because it was gifted to the city. And that was the argument. So if a government is building something or someone's building something primarily for the use of public use, then there's a state law and there's a federal law that says you have to pay what is called prevailing wage, which can escalate the cost of a project upwards of 30% is what I'm told.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, and the irony is, the Rotary Pavilion that went in got donated and they didn't have to pay a prevailing wage because nobody sued. Right? And that's just wacko. You know, so people should be able to do great things in the community without it becoming a political Labor Party kind of cause celeb. But anyway, we're getting off topic.
Soap
we're talking
box.
About this credible thing. But it's going to be significant because it can affect the cost of putting this thing in substantially, whether or not we get it and how quickly we get it. So we talked a little bit about the money. And I know you're out and you're meeting with people and organizations and corporations. When do you envision that construction will start? They're going to turn the first spade.
Yeah, ideally, construction begins late spring 2020, next year, and is completed by the end of 2020. So we're on a fairly aggressive timeline. However, we are optimistic and fully intend to get this done.
Wow. That construction is like about the amount of time it's going to take me to have my house built.
I've been following.
So that is
no kitchens or restrooms in this one.
That's right. We got a flat stage. We got some electricity. We've got a nice superstructure. Well, that's terrific, man. That's fast. That's going to happen fast.
Yeah.
So this summer and a year from now, hopefully, go into construction. What's going to stop you? What's going to hold you up?
Well, nothing's going to stop us, Brent.
Nothing's going to stop
us.
Nice. They're going to stop us now. Okay, I love it. I love that attitude. Barry's not signing on without it. He's going to stay until it comes to fruition. All right. Hold on just a second. We're going to come back. We're talking to Barry Nelson with Downtown Rotary about our new amphitheater coming. So we'll be right back. One more segment with Barry. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And, of course, our guest in the studio today, Barry Nelson. He's the CFP at Capital Financial Planners. Ironically enough, that's the CFP as initials of his company, too. That's just, I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Just coincidence, right. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one thing about your profession. I know you can't talk about investments and this and that. How should the listener pick their financial planner? What kind of characteristics, what kind of relationship? There's a ton of people that want to manage our listeners' money. You know, what should they look for?
Well, we could probably do a whole show on that.
Indeed.
Right? But
if we got to talk to compliance, but okay.
It has to be the right fit. That's what it comes down to. And a lot of people in the financial industry do business in lots of different ways. And so understanding the needs that a listener has and looking for a planner who can address those specific needs and is a good match, not just from a product or a solution standpoint, but also relationally is important. This is someone who should be serving the needs of an individual, ideally for the rest of their lives. That's mm-hmm. certainly the way we look at it. And so someone who approaches things with integrity and with ethics and who is looking at this not as a short-term transaction, but a long-term relationship.
Yeah, excellent answer. I think I would have said the same kind of. It's got not everyone's a fit for every planner, so you need to look for somebody who shares your value system, and is looking after your goals and not theirs, right? And you know, be the relationship thing. I like
trust.
It.
Absolutely.
Good answer. Thank you for that.
Lots of trust.
All right, Barry Nelson. He's been involved in Downtown Rotary. He's a past president. He's a little league umpire, so he's used to getting yelled at, and the Jerry Frank Salem Rotary Amphitheater is coming to fruition in the next couple of years. I'm sure you can help if you go to rotaryamphitheater.com or if you look at their website or the Facebook page. You can find a way to give money if you wish. Keep abreast of maybe like their Facebook page. Keep abreast of their announcements. Definitely take a look and start spreading the word because buzz creates things in this community.
Sure.
So if there was one thing, I mean, other than you'd be happy to receive a check. How do people help make this happen? Obviously, you don't need any political help, right? You don't need people to write their senators and congressmen saying help. But maybe there's matching dollars with where they work for contributions.
Absolutely. That can potentially be an opportunity. And being a financial planner, I tend to steer toward the idea of those over the age of 70 and a half being able to make qualified charitable distributions from their IRAs, being able to get money out of their IRA without paying tax on it, whether it be to this project or to any other charitable organization that they support, as well as the gift of appreciated securities or appreciated assets.
Yeah, no, that's very good idea. Very good advice, actually. You know, there's a lot of people out there that turn 70, 70 and a half, and they don't want to take the money out and have it taxed.
They don't necessarily want to take their required minimum distribution and face that tax consequence.
So you're saying they can gift that?
They can. So a qualified charitable distribution can be directed straight from an IRA made payable directly to the charity. And if a person has a $10,000 required minimum distribution and they direct $10,000 in the form of a qualified charitable distribution to a charity, that not only avoids the tax on that charitable distribution, but it also satisfies their required minimum distribution.
Wow, that's great. Because otherwise they're going to have to take that $10,000 out, pay the taxes on it. And if they're doing fine in their 70s, not needing that $10,000, that means they're in a decent tax bracket. So the charity gets the full value of the thing, not after they've paid 40% in taxes.
Correct.
That is amazing for people to know. And they can also, by the way, donate their life insurance policies or create a beneficiary change to leave some in legacy fund before and what have you. So lots of different ways to give. So
would they send you a note saying, hey, I left you in my will?
As far as legacy planning or mm-hmm. That kind of thing, they certainly can do that. This is, of course, a current project has a construction budget coming in 2020. Yeah. So if a person dies 20 years from now, I don't know that that helps a whole lot, though we would certainly put that to good use.
And oddly enough, you should bring that up because we booked for Newsmakers, actually, Ryan Collier, estate planning attorney here in town.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks before the end of the month.
Okay.
Ryan's he'll be on the show. A great member of the Rotary Club of Salem and does great member. Work in the community.
He does do great work.
Is there anybody you don't know there?
Rotarians are very well connected.
Yeah, nice.
180 of them in the downtown club. That's a big club.
That's amazing.
There's a South Club. There's a West Club. There's a Northeast Club. I'm sure there's a Kaiser Club, right?
Sunrise, Sunset, okay. Kaiser, Staten.
Good wow. people. So anyway, we'll look forward to having Ryan Collier on and talking about some of the state planning things. And maybe we have to have him more than once if we can take questions.
But yeah, right.
Some of the ways to pay less in taxes as you go out, leave more for your community, leave more for your family. All right. Barry, what else about the amphitheater do you want people to know before you go? I know you're traveling around and taking time out of your personal time and your family time to try to make this happen. And I love it. What a legacy you're leaving to the community.
Well, that's certainly the intention. And this isn't just for you and me, but for our children and for our children's children to enjoy in those future generations. And as you mentioned, I think this is going to be not just a musical venue, but and not just a venue for Salem, but this is a regional venue. It is one that will be an iconic cultural landmark for the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. I can see this being, as Dave suggested, our Sydney Opera House that appears in commercials and Travel Salem, Travel Oregon types of
Absolutely.
Materials.
Yeah, dang it, this is the capital of Oregon, and
right?
this is what it looks like.
Yeah, they show the so capital great. All the time. Come on, show something else.
All right, we started the hour of painting the picture. Let's paint it again. 2 years from now, 2 years from now, we have this amphitheater.
Yeah.
People are like listening to music while they're hanging out on their jet skis in the water, in their canoes, in their kayaks in the water.
And or walking around the park.
They're walking around the park.
Soaking up the sun.
Not far from there, there's redevelopment. There's a new YMCA. The Union Gospel Mission has a new facility, and there's less impact and more services for homeless. And there's more. There's two more housing developments downtown mm-hmm. with lots of people living. It's going to be an incredible sight in downtown Salem. It's very exciting to look 3 years in the future, as long as, you know, somebody in the city council, five people, don't get mad and vote against it.
Now, Brad.
I can't let it go.
I know.
I can't let it go. The whole community wants that bridge.
I told Barry the same thing.
I'm just a little worried that they're upset that they didn't get to plan the amphitheater, so therefore it can't be a good idea. It doesn't matter how many people want it.
Well, Barry said that they were very supportive.
Good. All right. I won't pick on them anymore then.
Hey, Barry, I heard you're selling bricks. Can you buy a brick for this thing?
You know, we haven't established a buy a brick program yet. But we do envision that coming in the near future. Absolutely.
All right. We're in. The wife and I are in for two bricks. So, I haven't seen the price yet.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
right?
One or maybe four. Depends on the price per brick, I guess. We'll be in. We want to support this project. Barry, I just want to finish up the hour. Thank you for taking time out of your day.
Well, thank you for having
being
me.
Here. I know that you're a very busy guy in springtime, umpiring Little League, singing in the choir, helping manage people's money with a good fiduciary duty and all that great stuff. If somebody wants more information on being a Rotarian, what are the requirements of being a Rotarian?
Yeah.
It's not really a mystery. It's not like the ancient Order of Masons or anything.
Yeah. Contact a Rotarian. People are welcome to visit anytime. It's really the requirement is that you need to be willing to give back to your community and want to be a part of this incredible system that we have in giving back.
It is a service organization. A lot of people just don't realize, what is it that they do again? Mm-hmm. They're really dedicated to service. And there's a club that's 25 members and a club of 180 members and everything in between. Right? So they do good things. Encourage people. So thanks for being with us. Tomorrow we're going to have a great Friday. We're going to talk volcanoes. We're going to talk expansion of a local business. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow. Happy Friday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.